Okay, good morning. Let's get ready. It's the beginning of May. And so that gets ready for summer and for fun. So, of course, those of you who have it, the rest of us, the same thing.
Huh? What, have fun or have summer? Summer is inevitable.
Hopefully you get both. And but let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the word of God. How grateful we are for our assembly. How grateful we are to work with each other, study, teach, worship, sing, pray, give, be a part of each other's spiritual life. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, let's begin with the hymn.
Hymn 165, if you have a hymnal, please turn with me and join us in Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. We'll do verses 1, 2, 3, then 5. Our scripture reading will be from Genesis 17. If you'd like to follow along, we'll start in verse 8. Genesis 17, 8. And Abraham is God is talking to Abraham. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. Then God said to Abraham, as for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you. For the generations to come, every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. The next one I'll ask you to join me in is 166, one page over, 166, at Calvary.
Here youth I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was me denied at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled as the law I spurned. Till my guilty soul mourning turned to Calvary. Grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I give to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, love that earned salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span.
All right. First of all, in regard to the prayers, we need to be in prayer for Bobby, and his continual recovery. And has he moved to the new place yet? He has moved. Okay. All right. How's he doing?
The day before, or the day he moved, he took 5 steps. They were very difficult, but he did, with some assistance, a little bit. And he called me yesterday, and he sounded real excited that he was in another place and that he was, you know, getting more physical challenges.
Good. Very good. Okay. Well, thank you. We'll be in, continue to be in prayer. And tonight, the young people getting together, very good. Any?
Yeah, just tonight we're celebrating the Liberty seniors that are graduating, our class of 2022. Like all of our pictures that are up here, we're about to add a new batch. And we've got 9 of our seniors coming tonight, and most of them with their parents or with other guests. So if you guys would just be in prayer that God would be glorified tonight, and just... we would be able to encourage these seniors as they graduate. So y'all know all the challenges that are ahead, but that they will rely on the Lord and just trust His Holy Spirit to guide them in the journey God has for them.
Boy, just is amazing in my life. Dave, for example, Brian and Larry's are gone now, and... y'all got one left.
Yeah, Nick is one of those 9, by the way.
So that'll be it. What are you going to do at night? Be just reading all the time, be quiet.
We'll meditate on the word.
Very good. All right. okay, any other reports, requests? Prayer. Okay, let's be in prayer for each other. Let's be in prayer for our money, offerings, a part of what God is doing as far as this church is concerned. So let's pray for the offertory. Heavenly Father, we pray that you continue to use this assembly according to your plan, according to your purpose, according to Heavenly Father, what you would have to do in this assembly. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
All right, this next song is 3031. It should be on the handout that I presented there. Very long introduction. You can get reacquainted with the melody, the verses, and the chorus. To God leads us along. So if you would, just take your time and listen to this, see if we can follow the words, and just play it through once.
Neil and I, we've been here on this earth a long time, and I feel sorry for the next for the generations coming in right now, and I don't know, in American history it was easy. It's very easy. Very easy to tell others about Christ. That easy growing up, but not so easy today, and certainly not getting easier as far as time is concerned. So let's continue being in prayer for each other. Does everyone not have a copy of the circumcision and the uncircumcision? Okay, well, that's what we're going to be looking at. So let's begin with a word of prayer and move into our study. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for living here in the church age. The grace that you have designed for the church age has always been so wonderful. Father, we know that when it's over, the church age, it'll turn into dilemma as far as Israel's concerned, Christians are concerned, and then Heavenly Father will go into the millennium, which is where Jesus Christ is in rule. So Father, we thank you so much for America. We thank you for the freedom in America, freedom to young people, freedom to people to grow in Christ, to pray, to give, and to tell others of Jesus Christ. We pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and understand. Pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, we are now in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. And the main thing at this time will be circumcision and the uncircumcision. Anti-Semitic incidents in the United States reaches a record high. This was the headlines this week in the paper, in the news. And anti-Semitism growing all over the world. It does not matter if the Jews are white, they are the target of an increase in violent acts against Jews. Now, just taking a look at Jesus. Jesus, a Jew, was the target of violence from Jews against him. And he was Jewish. And all he did was to do wonderful things. For an example, heal a man at Bethesda in Jerusalem. But they use this against him. And the solution to solve all anti-racial problems is the return of Jesus Christ. They're not going to have it today. Not going to have it in the tribulation. But it we will have it in the millennium of the rule of Jesus Christ. Now, different races often cause interracial dislike. Different tribes in Africa have been and still are at confrontation with each other. Different nations in Europe have all still the same confrontation, even though they are the same race. Fights and killings in the same family are always part of our history, of the history of the man, starting with Cain and Abel. Now, many people so much want to a one world government. That's what they want today, a one world government to end racial problems. First of all, there will be no one world government. Never be until Jesus Christ comes. And this will not end racial problems. is what they want to have to do. We are living through where the grace of God is God's gift to every believer. It's God's gift to every believer. The world is divided by racial, ethnic, gender barriers. These have been broken down by Christ Himself. Christians are united into one family. However, they often end up fighting each other. In this dispensation of the grace, the church age, we have the greatest amount of freedom ever given by God. Circumcision and uncircumcision are brought together in Christ. However, they are still fighting with each other and with non-Christians. But we have a hint, just a hint, of how wonderful the world will be when Jesus Christ rules on the earth. Now let's continue in our study in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 13. Therefore, remember that formerly, you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, the Jews, which is performed in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth people of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise. Now we've got to come to that phrase, covenants of the promise. Having no hope and without God in the world. Verse 12 to 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now, Wednesday night we studied a little bit about the ideal of the blood of Christ, and it's just amazing how many few people really understand the phrase, the blood of Christ. Do not understand it. And that's a shame. But we've looked at it from so many different ways. We'll move on. During the previous dispensation, the Jews were the chosen people of God. The last dispensation, the people were God's chosen people. They were chosen to be the race of the future Messiah, as well as custodian and writer of God's written word. The nation of Israel was placed under strict laws that were required to be obeyed to remain in a good standard with God. It's very important to stand with before God. However, they used the law rather than to lose it for God. They abused it. The use of the law to attack and lead to crucifixion of Christ, bringing him to the cross. Israel was a works-based system demanding obedience for blessings, but salvation and God's plan was always based on faith in the Savior. Now we come to Paul. Paul lays out seven disadvantages, Gentiles, most of us here tonight or this morning to Gentiles, had went and came to having any kind of relationship with God. Okay, so let's look at seven things that disadvantage that was disadvantaged to the Gentile. First, they were Gentiles in the flesh. That's the first thing. During the Old Testament, from Abraham to the Pentecost, there were only two types of people in the world, Jews and non-Jews, called Gentiles. God was, and still is, and always will be, the only two types of people on the earth, believers and non-believers. People are always divided by Jesus Christ. People are always divided in truth by Jesus Christ. There were two basic reasons why Gentiles in the flesh were at a disadvantage. A, in the age of Israel, it was not common for Gentiles to receive any derived revelation from God. Now, there are a few exemptions. For example, the writing of Job. Okay, B, in the age of Israel, it was not common for Gentiles to receive blessings from God. It was for the Jews. That's why you can study the history of Babylon. How many believers in Babylon's history? On and on. But before God, they were nothing as far as the Jews were concerned. Salvation in the Old Testament was the same as it is today. Faith in the promised Messiah, who we were later told was Jesus the Nazarene. Okay, that's the first one. The second problem with the Jew, with the Gentile, the second disadvantage to Gentiles was they were uncircumcised. Uncircumcised. This can take a long period of time going through discussing about it, but let's just note it and then move on. But the covenant agreement God had with Israel was that all its men had to be circumcised to integrate their affiliation with God. Circumcision was not common presence by Gentiles. There were some who did. I did some work on history, and there were some various people throughout the world. But by and large,
as a symbol of covenant, or just as
circumcision, yeah. Just as having circumcision.
Yeah.
Good. Those not circumcised, according to God, those who were not circumcised by the Jews as human, were they considered as heathen, are unclean. This became a main reason for division between Jews and Gentiles. During the period against Jews by the Germans, World War II, many Jews did not circumcise their male babies to protect them from the Germans. In other words, they'd be taken out, and the German would not know that they were Jews, so they would not be treated as though they were Jews. Okay? All right. Paul is setting the record straight that now circumcision of the flesh means nothing when it becomes to a true relationship with God. Titus was chosen as a teacher of the Word of God and was not circumcised. Titus was not circumcised, but Timothy was. So some were, some were not. The circumcision of the heart, which is a clean heart, is what matters to God, not the body. Now, the two types of people on earth are no longer Jew and Gentile, but believer in Jesus Christ and unbelievers. Now we come to the third problem with being a Gentile. Gentiles were without Christ, Ephesians 2:11-13. Only Israel was promised a Messiah, not the Gentiles. Throughout the Old Testament, like the period from Adam and Eve to Abraham, Gentiles who put their faith in the coming Messiah were saved. Jesus Christ actually said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, not to Gentiles." They were saved, but that's not whom he came to restore them. Now, after the day of Pentecost, the gospel is welcomed to all people. In Acts chapter 10 is a wonderful declaration. I almost spent time reading it. A declaration of the coming, the gospel, to the house of Cornelius. And the first Gentile listed, first one listed in the New Testament to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 9, Paul is saved and sent to the Gentiles. And in chapter 10, the first Gentile was found and recorded. The fourth problem. Gentiles were typically excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, Ephesians 2:12. The commonwealth of Israel is actually citizenship in Israel, which brought with it many blessings from God. Excluded from the commonwealth. The word commonwealth, excluded commonwealth, covers four pages of the Greek lexicon. Seven columns cover it there. It means to be without God and without Christ is being without hope, having no hope, and without God. That's how the Gentiles were described. Fifth problem. Gentiles were also strangers from the covenants of promise. God made several covenants or contracts with the Jewish people. One, Abraham covenant. Genesis 12:1-3. Two, the Mosaic Covenant. Exodus 19:24. It states, again, the Abrahamic Covenant and a giving of the Ten Commandments. Three, Levitical Covenant. The Levitical Covenants gave Israel a special priesthood with special access to God, Deuteronomy 33. Four, a Palestinian covenant. A Palestinian covenant promised Israel an eternal title to their land, plus the promise to return the land to them. And this is still a promise, and it's going to be fulfilled at the end of the time of Israel, in the age of tribulation. Okay, four, five, the Davidic covenant. gave David's family an eternal right to the throne in Israel. 2 Samuel chapter 7. 6. The new covenant. The new covenant promised Israel that God would write his law on their hearts. This is all the way to Jeremiah 31, 31 and 34. And it deals only with the millennium. Now, that means that the beginning and the millennium, Jews could not sin. They did not sin in the beginning. Now, as Jews were born, they could sin. Now, these covenants being to Israel. You will recall that we have looked at six covenants, not mentioned covenants of promise. Of the six covenants referring to Israel, all of them demand eternal life. All of these are directed to the Jews who will inherit them. Only born again Jews will receive it. But now we mention covenants of promise. It is used of divine promises. I spent almost a full day just trying to find out about this one, and very few people dealt with it. They just passed over it. So we're going to just note a few things and then move on. The best one, I mentioned it, Harold Horner. Harold Horner has a book on Ephesians, over 900 pages. For one book on Hebrew. So if you think I'm bad, see, I fit right in there. Okay, now, so we come to this one, the covenant of promise. The reason the Gentiles in Ephesians were strangers to these covenants is because they were covenants that God made with the nation of Israel that contained promises for that nation. Harold Horner's presentation, and I give it the information of his book. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, and closing up verse 12, having no hope. The lack of hope, this is a reference to the Gentiles, a lack of hope for the Gentiles comes out of a study of Ephesians 1:18, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. It was a hope of the promise of God. And another lack of the Gentiles was and without God in the law, in the world. Now, this brings us to the study of the points of circumcision. I really didn't know what to do. I could just give 5 or 6 points and move on, or give you some understanding of it. So let's just take a little understanding on the points on circumcision. Define it first of all. Circumcision is the cutting away of useless skin from the male sexual part. The male child was circumcised on the 8th day, on his 8th day of being born, and he had nothing to say about it, obviously. And it is the cutting aside, cutting away on removal of something that is totally unnecessary. Now, they didn't ask me when I was 6-8 days old about taking it away, whether I was happy with that or not, but medically it means it isn't totally unnecessary. 3, its significance is twofold. Significance of circumcision, twofold. Cutting away of that which is useless is a picture of cutting the human race out and away from Israel, leaving Israel alone, and cutting away that which is useless, is a picture of this cutting away anything that comes from the flesh. Now, point two, significance of circumcision. Circumcision was established as a sign of the Abrahamic covenant. Give you the Bible reference there. Genesis 17, 8 through 14, which is what we had read. Now, one, subpoint one. First significance of circumcision was that it is a ritual related to the promise of land, which the Jewish people possessing a well-defined land of Canaan by Abraham's seed. Abraham believed the promise of God for the land, for this land. Circumcision was a separating of himself unto the Lord. Therefore, separating was symbolized by a ritual of circumcision. And if we think about history, why has there been throughout church history a battle always going on in the Middle East? Why is it always going on? Right up to this day, treaty after treaty, trying to establish peace in the land, and now by at least three of the four past presidents tried to establish peace by giving some of the land of Israel to the enemies of Israel. That'll make everybody happy. It didn't. It wouldn't. It wasn't going to. This will not work. As far as all the attempts of past presidents have shown, it just doesn't work. In fact, the greatest battle in history, Armageddon, is to decide whose land this land belongs to. God has promised this land to Israel and Jews right up to today. Jews practice circumcision in hopes of this land. Secondly, the second significance of circumcision was a ritual related to God's founding of the Jewish race. So the significance of circumcision was a ritual related to God's founding of the Jewish race. Abraham was the first to be circumcised and the first Jew in human history to be circumcised, and just to be there. Abraham was 99 years old and sexually dead when he was circumcised. 99. Genesis 17, 1 and 11. I decided we better put that in. He was circumcised along after his salvation, and long after his salvation, and long after receiving the Abrahamic covenant. God commanded him to be circumcised as an act of faith, just as an act of faith in the promise of the Abrahamic covenant, and to start the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. Abraham had a son at 99 years old when he circumcised that his son on the eighth day after his birth. This started the Jewish race. Romans 4, 9 through 12. And then finally, three, circumcision of the establishment of the new of a new race, a physical DC sign of a new nation. Abraham was 99, sexually dead, yet by his consenting to circumcision as an act of faith in the promises of God that he would father a new nation, circumcision had a national significance. Now, major point four. Circumcision had a sexual significance. Only the male was to be circumcised. Now, in case you ladies feel bad, listen now. The woman doesn't need such a ritual, thank God. But by God's design, the woman is a responder. Every time a male had sexual intercourse with a woman, hopefully his wife, his circumcision was a physical reminder that he was set apart and was to make love only to a Jewish woman. And the woman did not need a sign, for every time she made love to a man, hopefully her husband, the physical sign of circumcision was a physical design reminder to her that she was to have sex only with a sexual, Jewish male. Now, so, while circumcision was only for the male, it served to remind both male and female that they are set apart to the unique race. There was a sexual significance to the ritual of circumcision. So circumcision was a physical or sexual sign to the male that he was a father of a great nation, and to her that she was to be a mother of a great race and nation. Circumcision was a ritual that Israel would be blessed by a maximum number of Jewish males finding the Jewish woman designed for him. And they would live in great blessing, both individual and national blessing given from God. And so, when a Jewish man or woman had sex with a Gentile, they were sinning against God, against their nation, and against the one designed for them by God. Most people relate sex to the body, but unless it is related to the soul, it is meaningless. This is true of Gentiles and Jews, and destructive to both the soul and the body. The happiness of a nation and stability of a nation is dependent upon the maximum number of people finding the one designed for them and remain married to them. The nation is stabilized, secured, happy, and blessed. Men should not be found to serve in the military. They should want to go to the protection of their country, their homes, their wives. But when the nation was has a number of divorces, numbers 2 and 3 and 4 and on, and on increase in homosexuality and lesbianism, it shows just how sick a nation has become. And now, today, we have the world full of transgender issues. People, use your heads. A little boy, a little girl, start out with a confidence security. I am a boy. I am a girl. But when you take away these things, start confusing them with no security, and then away the divine institute of family, of father, mother, and this leads to more instability, insurety, and security. And even before the child really starts growing, loss of identity and of the rotting away of this nation. This nation, any nation with these moral collapses is headed toward collapse of the home, the family, and the nation. Now, point five. Circumcision and scriptural significance. Circumcision and significance of the scriptures. Let's take a look. One, circumcision. Also reminded all Israel, male and female, that Israel and the Jewish race were set apart by God as custodians. Instead of my brother, do I need a drink here? All right.
Yeah, take a little breath.
There we go. Now I'm back at it. All right. First, circumcision also reminded all Israel, male and female, that Israel and the Jewish race were set apart by God as custodians of the gospel. They were the representations of God. They were given the great privilege of all time, this responsibility for the scriptures from God toward in guarding the gospel. They are circumcised. They are different. They are to spread the gospel to all Gentile nations. Now, by the way, people, we are set apart to Christ in the church age to spread the gospel during the church age. Set apart not by physical circumcision, but by spiritual circumcision in Christ. Now, second, we're dealing with the points of spiritual relationship, as it says, circumcision and spiritual significance. So that was first. Now the second one, circumcision was the sign of Jewish race, and no male Jew could partake of the Passover without being circumcised. Circumcision was related to the racial and national importance to the Jew. Passover speaks of the Jewish, of the person and the death of the coming Messiah. Therefore, a Jew could not observe the Passover until he was circumcised. In the church age, the communion table is for believers only. But not just for believers, but believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I certainly was a believer, but I'm not sure of the importance of the filling of the Spirit when I was in a Baptist church. It may have been, but I'm not sure. I don't think so, but it should have been and will be too. In our understanding. But it should be noted that circumcision did not save a Jew, even at the time of its inception. Abraham was not saved by circumcision. Abraham was saved by faith. Abraham was saved long before he was circumcised, which means he was saved in an uncircumcised state, which makes Abraham a father or a pattern of all who believe in the coming Messiah. By the way, he was also a Gentile. He was Jewish, he was Gentile, and uncircumcised. Take a look at the offspring of Abraham. Ishmael, now you know who Ishmael is, who was circumcised, but his circumcision had no meaning to Ishmael, only to Ishmael's father. Only the life of Ishmael, all the life of Michelle, of Ishmael, who was a wild ass of a man. He was a troublemaker. Ishmael fathered many Arab nations, and there has been trouble between the Arabs and the Jews throughout all history, and there will continue to be through their conflict through the coming of Jesus Christ, second coming of Christ. Circumcision had covenant significance to the Jews. Circumcision has a land significance. Circumcision has a racial significance. Circumcision has a national significance. Circumcision has a sexual significance. Circumcision has a spiritual significance. And finally, the ritual of circumcision has no significance in the church age, Acts 15:1. Now, this is the first Sunday in May, and we are going to represent this by having communion. We've had communion two Sundays ago at the Resurrection Sunday, but now we're to continue in our resurrection time, which everyone will receive bread and will partake it for everyone. Interesting, in the history of Israel, the Old Testament, have circumcision when you're 8 days old. And you are reminded of many things throughout your life. We are reminded every time we take communion of our relationship with the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it, and said, This is my body, which is for you, do this in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we have the ritual to remind us here at this church, beginning of each month, to spend that month to glorify Christ, to grow in the Word, to tell others of Jesus Christ. Glorify you in Christ's name. Amen. It is also our custom that everyone hold the bread till everyone has been served, or the cup till everyone has been served. Don't you think about the night which Jesus Christ began these things with his disciples. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, so the Passover's over, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we consider it an honor and a privilege to come over, to be here, study the Word of God, sing with one another, pray, give offerings, and now the taking of communion. We thank you for this morning. Pray that you will use us this next year, this next day, month, to glorify you, tell others of Christ, to continue to grow in the Word of God. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Okay, now let's eat.